Good afternoon. Today, we reported one new case of COVID-19 in Tulsa County in a woman in her 40s. The epidemiological investigation is ongoing. This brings the rate, the total to 12 confirmed cases in Tulsa County out of 109 statewide. There have now been a total of 3 deaths in Oklahoma, including one in Tulsa County. The United States is now ranked 3rd globally in the number of cases of COVID-19 behind China and Italy. There have been more than 46,000 cases in the United States. All 50 states have reported cases of COVID-19, with some states experiencing severe outbreaks. In Tulsa County, we know the potential for community spread is occurring. And unfortunately, the potential for greater spread will happen in Tulsa County. Most people who become infected with COVID-19 will have mild symptoms, but for some people, including those who are older or who have chronic health conditions, the illness can be severe and even deadly, which is why we're asking all people to stay home. Our older, vulnerable populations are exposed to our younger populations who aren't very sick. That's where they're getting this illness from. We must protect all those vulnerable populations and do our part to flatten the curve and slow the spread. Symptoms of COVID-19 include fever, cough, and shortness of breath. If you are experiencing symptoms, stay home and call your healthcare provider. Do not call 911 unless you have a medical emergency. Our first responders need to be able to serve those with true emergencies. This means that you stay home. Stay home as much as possible to reduce your risk of being exposed. Limit the number of people you interact with. Use drive-through or curbside pickup when possible. Do not make trips that aren't essential. This advice may be easier for some people, so it's important to be a neighbor and call or text your friends and family members to check in on them. If you can, pick up extra supplies for someone who's at greater risk so they do not have to leave their home. The primary focus of public health is prevention. My staff routinely work to prevent the spread of infectious disease and conducts investigations on reportable diseases to respond to outbreaks and contain the spread. We have added an additional epidemiologist to assist with COVID-19 contact tracing and investigation. I am in regular communication with our healthcare system. We actually met this morning with healthcare system executives. We are meeting more than once weekly. Our local healthcare systems are continuing to screen and test high-risk priority individuals for COVID-19. These numbers are reported to the Oklahoma State Department of Health. Contact your healthcare provider to discuss your symptoms and options. To support these testing efforts in Tulsa County, the Tulsa Health Department will conduct a limited mobile specimen collection site tomorrow for uninsured high-risk individuals who have been pre-screened. This will be done by appointment only at a confidential, undisclosed location. This is to ensure the safety of these individuals, staff, and responders. It will also help reduce the risk of exposure and further spread. Only those pre-screened individuals who have an appointment will have a specimen collected. In all honesty, resources are extremely limited. At this time, we have enough supplies to collect samples from an extremely limited number of individuals. Of course, like all of those who are testing, we have requested more supplies. Testing capabilities are limited by finding reagents and swabbing kits. The specimens collected tomorrow will be sent to the Oklahoma State Department of Health, their public health laboratory, and we hope to have results in 24 to 48 hours. I'd now like to introduce Mayor Bynum.
Thank you, Dr. Dart. I have a number of things I'd like to cover, but on Dr. Dart's last point, I really do want to thank all of those businesses and individuals over the last several days that have come forward to donate personal protective equipment for our first responders and our healthcare providers. It's a classic example of how in Tulsa we pull together and assist one another in a time of need. And there's so many different groups out there that are doing this, and I really, on behalf of the citizens of Tulsa, want to thank them. I also want to share just a bit of perspective, at least from my standpoint. I've spent a lot of time over the last week or so talking with hospitals, with the labs that do our testing, to understand where we stand on testing in Tulsa, where we can expect to go from a testing standpoint. And the good news is that we are seeing increased testing capacity here in Tulsa. As a Sunday morning, labs here in Tulsa that serve our hospitals were able to do significantly more than had been done previously. What we should expect as a community with that increased testing is more positive cases. And so I would ask Tulsans, as you see those numbers, I think that's how you go on Sunday from six people with positive cases in Tulsa to 11 yesterday and now 12 today. And we should expect all of us over the course of this week to see that number continue to climb. And that's important because that does not mean necessarily that contagion is, you know, that these are people who just got it. What it means is that these are people who are already in our community who had it, who were in hospitals or who had gone to doctors and were under observation and are only now finally getting the testing they need to reveal for us as a community the true extent of this virus in our city. So I would ask all Tulsans to keep that in mind as you see those numbers climb this week, and we should expect them to climb significantly as this testing capability increases over the course of the week, that's what you're seeing happen. Is that this fairly large unknown for us as a city as it relates to the extent of contagion is becoming much more clear as testing expands. This morning, I signed an executive order that formalizes something that we've been telling people for a number of days, but we thought it was important to formalize it. And that is an executive order banning any groups of 10 or more people inside the city limits. Earlier on, many of you will recall, I had an executive order that banned groups in city facilities. That was before we declared a civil emergency within the city of Tulsa. Moving forward, there are to be no groups in any facilities or elsewhere in Tulsa of 10 or more people, and that will be enforced by the Tulsa Police Department. I want to, and it's all fairly new news, but I really want to thank Governor Stitt for his action today. I know that that was not a decision that he came to lightly. He has to think about the whole state, and it is a very diverse state. But I'm very grateful for the action that he took today. I think the announcement that Governor Stitt made today will save the lives of people in our state. And I want to explain at least what I understand his orders to be. There were a number of announcements today, but I think three big ones. One is a ban on groups of 10 or more, similar to what we're talking about here in the city of Tulsa. Another is the notion statewide of a safer at home program for vulnerable populations that would apply statewide to people. And the third one applies to those of us who are in counties where a positive case has been identified, and that is closing all non-essential businesses. And the definition for non-essential businesses, people can find that the U.S. Department of Homeland Security issued that, I think late last week. I think I heard the governor cite that as what the state would utilize for determining what's essential and what's non-essential. I will tell you that we as a city started planning for a shelter in place last week, not necessarily knowing when it might come, but recognizing that we wanted to be prepared should it arrive. And so our team has been developing planning since last week about what that might look like in Tulsa. And what you see in cities and states around the country that have issued shelter-in-place orders is the closure of non-essential businesses, like the governor stated today. That's usually the largest factor in one of those shelter-in-place orders, with many of exceptions for people to be able to go to the grocery store, drugstore, things like that that are necessary to continue on with life. So I I am interpreting the governor's order today, unless we hear different later in the day, is that it is it's largely a shelter in place order for those of us who are in counties that have a positive case in place, which I believe is now at this point in Oklahoma 19 cases. All that being said, we as a city and our police department, we will enforce the orders that are put in place by the state. I'm looking forward to, after this is over, after this press briefing's over, getting back and on the phone with the governor's office to make sure we're crystal clear here in the city of Tulsa on what we need to be upholding from those orders. But I just really also think it's important to point out that this is a far superior approach to than what we were trying to do with restaurants and bars over the last week and movie theaters and other venues, where we were trying to do it city by city. And you saw, we definitely saw the challenge of doing it, or hadn't done it yet or eventually did it. The point of these programs is to slow the spread of a virus, and a virus doesn't stop at the city lines and pay attention to whether or not an order is in place in those cities. And so by the governor taking this action in those most impacted counties initially today, I think having a uniform policy across a county makes such better sense than trying to do it city by city. And so I'm very we have set up at the city of Tulsa a website. So as I mentioned a moment on a last hour, but we will provide all of the information. We already have a link to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's. That's on. You can just go to cityoftulsa.org/COVID-19, the number, and see all of the information we have there for accessing city services, the orders that have been put forward, how we're planning to follow through on those, and lots of other useful information. Lastly, you know, things are moving so fast on this right now, and as I've told folks over the last several days, sometimes it can almost seem like we're all living in a science fiction novel. The kinds of decisions that all of us are being asked to make right now, I think, are decisions that none of us expected to make in our lifetimes, or at least not me. And I do want to say how grateful I am for those people who are courageously keeping things going in Tulsa right now through this. We talk a lot about the desire to be able to allow people to socially distance. That's why we put the orders in place in the last week that we did. That's why I'm glad. There are a lot of people who work in Tulsa who don't get that option. There are police officers and firefighters and sheriff's deputies and folks that work for EMSA or other to anyone to provide them help virus and test them or not. They just courageously go out there and help people. We have healthcare workers working in stretched when it comes to personal protective equipment. And that's something you see a citywide initiative trying to help give them the tools that they need, but they are not stopping to show going to work every day to help protect the lives of people in our community who are going to work every day in our community, people who are out protecting our city, who maybe don't have family that can watch their kids while they're out. There's so many people in this community who are carrying out acts of tremendous personal courage right now to help Tulsa move through this as a community. And I hope they know that that does not go unnoticed. people in this city are so grateful for the work that you're doing, and we hope that one day we can thank you properly. So now I'd like to turn it over to County Commissioner Karen Keith.
Thank you, Mayor. I also want to give my heartfelt thanks to care professionals, Bruce Dart and his crew at the health department, and all these certified nurses assistants who are on the front line in our nursing homes. In Tulsa County alone, we have some 1,500 frontline nursing home employees, and in the state, 13 to 14,000 who are caring for our elderly that we can no longer visit. In speaking this morning with the owner of six facilities, he is struggling like everyone else to get protective gear, which is vital to his workforce. He was forced to buy 900 masks yesterday at $12 a piece. He said he had no choice. He had to protect his. If you see this happening anywhere, I really encourage you to website and let them know. I know they are following up on as many cases as they can. Now, for our seniors at home, I know you may be getting lonesome, so please do not vaccines or a special cure. It is especially important not to give out your Medicare, your Medicaid card numbers, or your Social Security number. Just hang up if anybody calls asking for that information. Now, here at the courthouse, our daily visitor count is down well over 75%, but still, it is too many given the current situation. So again, I want to implore everyone to email or call our elected officials or their departments. Do not come to the courthouse. All that contact is available, tulsacounty.org. There is a link there that you can easily get to all Highway Construction Department has had to stop their projects for the time being. The team spends a lot of time in close quarters as they work on some of this, so we are down to a skeleton crew handling emergency issues only. Minor projects that can be completed with limited staff and interaction, as well as supporting the three maintenance districts. Our Social Services Department, which runs the Tulsa County Emergency Shelter and Pharmacy, is no longer taking new applications for any services and only refilling prescriptions that are for existing clients. Sheriff Regalado reported just a moment ago that, again, no fevers in the jail. And to help maintain that record, new folks coming in will be quarantined for 2 weeks to protect the population there. And that process will be implemented within the next 24 hours. Our county parks remain open. But as you just heard, our golf courses and all of our outdoor tennis courts will close tonight. And juvenile dockets are all closed until April 20th, with some expectations for, with some exceptions for critical matters and details. And all that can be found on social media or, again, the county website. Questions about the juvenile docket can also be referred to 918-596-5971. In the Tulsa region, we have some 8,000 restaurant workers, many of whom are out of work for the first time in their lives. The Lobeck Taylor Foundation has set up a Tulsa Restaurant Employee Relief Fund. So using Google, log on to the Mother Road Market so you can make a donation. And I was able to do that in just a few minutes. It's super easy. Your donations are greatly needed for all the anticipated requests for help from those workers. Displaced restaurant workers can also log on to Mother Road website, and they'll get all sorts of information to help them fill out the form so that they might get one of the $1,000 grants that they'll be giving out. And then Tulsa Area United Way has partnered with the Tulsa Community Foundation and has set up a special fund for COVID-19. Just log on to either website to make a donation. Again, it is really easy. And those funds will be used to bolster our nonprofits who have boots on the ground working this crisis. So if you have an urgent need, please call 211 and they will direct you to all available resources, whether that assistance is needed with food, rent, utilities, your mental health, domestic violence, anything where you feel you're in crisis, please call 211. Now, for any worker laid off because of this crisis, look to Amazon, CVS, grocery stores that likely need additional staff. I talked with Jeff Reeser today, and in the past 10 days, he says their stores have ramped up online shopping. They're also actively trying to hire some of the displaced restaurant workers. And these restaurant workers who have their health cards, it makes them an easy fit for their stores. So go to their website to get more information. Now, as an aside, Jeff says that grocery stores have plenty of food to feed everyone. He urges all of us to buy only what we need. Hoarding is creating the shortages for things like toilet paper and other basics. He also says, remember, we have two toilet paper manufacturers in Jinx and Muskogee. Community Food Bank continues to do their life-saving work. If you would like to donate or volunteer with their ongoing efforts, you can go to okfoodbank.org for more information. As an aside, our EOC has been activated to a level 2 to help with this public response. So I ask you all to please follow the words of our mayor and of Bruce Dart, our City County Health Department, and the governor, and do what you need to do to stay safe, and just do your social distancing. It's not that hard to do. We're going to get used to it, and hopefully we can end this sooner than later, but it's going to be it. We're here for the long haul, so please do what you need to do. Thank you so much.
Good afternoon. I just want to let all citizens know the Tulsa Police Department remains operational. Our 911 center remains fully operational, and we are there to respond to calls, to provide a service, and we are also there to be that enforcement arm for the ordinances within our city, as well as the criminal statutes within our state. So we will continue to police. We will continue to maintain order for the community. And in that, the civil orders that were placed out there, we are enforcing those. You can dial our non-emergency number at 918-596-9222. If you need us to check a business. To date, we've checked close to 100 businesses. We've done compliance checks with those businesses. We have not issued any citations. Most businesses are operating as they should, and those that were not were educated, and they are now operating as they should as well. I also want everyone to realize that we are prioritizing arrest. That means we are still making arrest. So criminals don't stop being criminals because of civil orders and this COVID-19 pandemic. So we recognize that, and we remain fully operational, fully engaged, and we stand ready to enforce all the laws and ordinances on the books.
Thank you. We're happy to entertain any questions at this time.
We keep hearing about this magic 15 days from the White House. What are your thoughts on, are we going to, after that 15 days, they want to reopen the economy? Are we there? Or what are your thoughts on that 15-day period?
Question about the phrase of the magic 15 days period from the White House. I think we've got great evidence. Looking at what Mayor Bynum has done, what the governor's proclamation is, which we know is 21 days, his order today, I think there's no magic number here, and there's no special sauce that's going to allow us to stop the chain of transmission until we break public gathering, until we actually break chain of transmission. So, it's good to have a time frame, but it's also good to review and monitor that and be very careful about what the data is telling us to assure that time frame is accurate, reflective of what we're seeing in the environment, and we'll find out. 15, 21, 2 months from now, we'll know.
Can you quantify our current testing capabilities in Tulsa?
Was asked to quantify our current testing capabilities in Tulsa. They're very, you've all heard from both healthcare systems, from public health, they're extremely limited. And I think people don't quite understand when we say limited, what we're really talking about. We're talking about that we need a swab to do a nasal pharyngeal sample that we stick far, far up your nose. That swab's gotta be put in viral transport media to preserve that sample. It's gotta be boxed correctly and then transported to a lab. That's just a collection. And then we have the actual test and the test supplies in laboratories. So we need both reagent and cartridges to use test kits to run these tests. So there's two different issues here. We have a limited supply of both collection kits and testing kits. And people are working very, very hard to change that and ramp that up, but that's our situation now. It's extremely limited. Tomorrow at our mobile stand-up clinic, if we're able to test 30 of uninsured high-risk population, that's our plan. We're working very hard to try and get more collection materials in.
What is the supply in Tulsa County of hospital beds and ventilators, and how many serious COVID patients can Tulsa County handle?
So we had a question about hospital capacity and beds, and we don't release that information about number of ventilators and hospital beds. And I think that's information for the hospitals themselves. We know we have COVID, potentially probable COVID patients in every hospital. We're waiting for test results back. There's also been hospital patients who have tested positive that are still being treated. So the hospitals are doing their job. They're doing a tremendous job. And we're working very close with the hospitals to be aware of what capacity is and where surge becomes an issue.
Are they designated any specific hospital to deal with virus patients?
The question was, have they designated any specific hospitals to deal with viral infections? And the answer is no.
I've started looking at the data, and I noticed that it's almost 50-50 from those who are 50 years older to those who are 18-49. Did the 18-49 group kind of get a misconception that they were invincible in this? Are you finding?
I had a question about the demographics that are being infected, and yes, early on we saw a vast majority of cases in that over 60 age group, but now the 18-49 is starting to catch up, and we're starting to see that they are becoming ill. What we are seeing, though, they're not as sick as those 16 above with underlying health conditions and immune compromised conditions. But I think there's been a little bit of a surprise to see that 18-49 demographics start to approach the same numbers as those that have been previously stayed at higher risk.
Your forecasting models right now, comparatively where we are and where we're going, will we be able to handle what's coming up in our future, or do we have a clear picture yet?
Had a question about our forecasting models of where the disease will spread, and we're working very hard on that. We truly don't know, and because it's so soon in this response. Now, I think when we start to really pay attention to not having public gatherings, and we can extrapolate that to, are we seeing a decrease in numbers? But it's kind of give us a false sense, because the bottom line is that if we increase testing capability, we're going to see more numbers. Bottom line, but if we continue to break the chain transmission, the numbers won't be part of our journey towards greater infection in our community.
Mayor, I've got a quick question. River Parks is packed today. Does your new order of 10 or more impact River Parks? There's hardly any parking spaces in some of these parks.
Yeah, the order today impacts any facility, any open space. We want people. You know, I've had some questions, you know, does this notion of shelter in place, does that mean that people can't go outside? No. The threat of the virus here is not from the air and the birds and the squirrels. The threat is from other people. And so what we're hoping people will do is, we don't want you to be boxed up inside for weeks. That can have its own mental health issues. We want people to get outside when it's nice out, but practice smart social distancing. The general rule of thumb is to stay 6 feet away from those outside of your household. And what the orders that we've put in place over the last week have been intended to do is to help facilitate that for everyone. So today, we wanted to clear up that this isn't just about the BOK Center or the Performing Arts Center. This is about all venues in Tulsa should have no more than a group of 10 people or less. Outdoor venues, you need to not be in giant groups of people. You need to practice social distancing at those. And I have one thing I want to add to the question Dr. Dart just fielded. I would ask that everybody in Tulsa take one moment and think about where we've come in a week. I mean, a week ago we were announcing, not even a week ago, we were announcing the closure of restaurants and bars and entertainment venues. And for a lot of people in the last week, I feel like that has almost become normalized. That change, and then the governor's change today, closing non-essential businesses starting soon, I think it's tomorrow, or at the end of the day tomorrow. The purpose of those orders is to reduce the opportunity for people to come into encounter with other people that facilitates the rapid transmission of this virus. As I've tried to urge people again and again, the less people you come in contact with, the better your odds are of not getting COVID-19 and not spreading it. And so by closing non-essential businesses, by closing our city facilities, by closing the ability to sit in a restaurant next to somebody for an hour and for restaurant employees to have to serve whoever happens to walk in the door, by closing movie theaters, and now by limiting any sort of public group to 10 people or less, what we're trying to do over and over and over again is take out those greatest risk factors that can lead to the transmission of this virus and reduce it as much as we can, and by doing so, flatten that curve that can impact our hospital's ability to serve people who need it.
So are you going to put barricades in the parking lot, or can I still use river parks?
No, we want people to use river parks, just not in a giant group of 10 or more. We want people to walk on the trails and enjoy it, but be smart about it and don't endanger yourself and your fellow Tulsans while you're in the process of doing it.